A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit GoToMeeting.com.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Keselowski's all set for the off weekend.
I love Easter. It's one of my favorite holidays.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards Program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more five times in 1 year. One more way to get more done. Protect your engine from wear while protecting your wallet with great deals on oil change supplies from AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. Learn more about AutoZone Rewards at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brad Keselowski is all set for the Easter holiday with a different kind of competition in store.
You know, for my family, we've always had a lot of fun on Easter. It's always been the guaranteed off week in racing, which we so much appreciate and hope to never lose. That said, we always like to do something together as a family to try to get outside, and whether that's Easter egg hunts or my family always liked to play croquet, so we still do that as a family, and that's been a lot of fun. It's kind of a weird thing to play, but I'm not really good at any other sport, so I enjoy that one. And you can wreck other people in croquet, so that's always a lot of fun.
Keselowski heads to the break fifth in the overall standings. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Back to the Todd Bottlecamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
It is 6:05. That means hour number three is underway. The Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his crew doing wonderful work there on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Welcome aboard, Todd Bottlecamp alongside Alex Kuhn with us inside the Big Hour tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, perhaps for the final time this year, perhaps not, to be determined. What are the rumblings that there could be some recruiting news on the horizon for the Hawkeyes? I saw Mark Morehouse mention something on Twitter. Are we waiting for a big announcement out of Cedar Falls tonight?
That will be coming tomorrow.
Coming tomorrow.
Jack Campbell, 2019 linebacker from Cedar Falls, down to Iowa, Iowa State, and Minnesota. So he will either row the boat. What's Iowa State?
A storm is brewing.
Storm is brewing.
He's either going to brew a storm, row a boat, or break the rock.
Right. I like Iowa's chances. Let's just say
he's
that.
A good player.
Yeah, he is a good player, and I think the best is ahead for him. Last I talked to him, Coach Seth Wallace said he reminds him of Ben Neiman, and he reminds me a little bit of Ben Neiman too. 6'4", about 210, 215 pounds like Ben was coming out of high school.
I was going to say he's one of those guys that you can see the athleticism now, and he's going to put on more weight. He's going to get bigger and bigger.
And he started on the basketball team, the state championship basketball team. He led them in rebounding and field goal percentage. He runs sprints and track, so he's a really good athlete. And he is visiting Iowa tomorrow on an unofficial visit. He'll go and watch practice and then go through the team meetings and things like that and just kind of get a feel for what's going on there. And then he'll make his decision later in the day. That's his last visit before he decides.
So, yeah, read between the lines there, maybe. Perhaps while he's in Iowa City, he could tell Kirk Ferentz something. You mentioned Seth Wallace. We got to hear from him and Reese Morgan earlier this week. The Hawkeyes have three practices a week from now until the spring game on Friday, April 20th. What'd you take away from our availability with the two assistant coaches earlier this week?
I guess we always tend to look at, you know, what are the concerns? It's just kind of our nature. And from the defensive line perspective, it's the interior. Who's going to step up in the absence of Nathan Budgeta and step in there? And because you lose Josie Jewell on the next level, too. The middle of that defense is, you know, from Christian Welch to those two tackles, if they use a rotation. That's really what this spring is about, finding out what they have there. Matt Nelson being out after being injured in the bowl game and having surgery this offseason and being out for the spring will give the young guys an opportunity there. Cedric Lattimore, Brady Reif, Garrett Jansen, those guys are all kind of looking to earn playing time. And then at the, you know, Seth Wallace got up there and basically said, it's a blank canvas. We'll see what happens at linebacker. You know, it's a group of guys trying to replace, you know, Ben Neiman, who we talked about, Josie Jewell, and Bo Bauer, guys who started the last 2 years. That's and then you take, you know, Josh Jackson out of the mix. There's more on defense that I think that we realize that's going on. This is a really important, as important as it is for the offense to take steps forward, the defense, there's a lot of things they need to figure out this spring and summer.
And that's why I've said I think that, like you said, that the offense does need to take a step forward because this team has ridden that defense the last two seasons. I mean, absolutely relied on that defense the last 2 years, and it's given them an 8-5 an 8-5 record both years. Like you said, though, when this team, this program. They have when they have their down years, that's where they're a little bit vulnerable, right? Up the middle of the defense, the defensive tackle into the linebacker section. And that's what where the big question marks are at right now. You can talk about wide receiver. You can talk about running back and replacing James Daniels on the offensive line. But I think you have to start on the defensive side of the football. There are a lot of question marks. Yes, this team, this program usually finds a way to replace their players and manage and move on without too much of a hiccup, but there's going to be a lot of turnover this year.
And I just wonder, you know, how tempting it's going to be to maybe, and Matt Nelson coming, you know, when he gets back, he'll be a fifth-year senior, and that certainly will help them inside, but how tempting it will be to slide A.J. Epenesa inside or Parker Hesse inside if they're not getting the production they want, because I think, you know, Anthony Nelson is – I really think that if he hasn't had a breakout yet, I think this year will be it. I think he's shown that to this point already, but I think he'll come more into the regional and national consciousness with how he develops this next year. But it's like this, Todd, you've been around for years. This is kind of the way it is at Iowa. You know, there are guys that leave, and it's probably like this more all over the place. But with Iowa, a developmental program, a lot of times we don't know that a guy like Josh Jackson is coming. And then he appears, and then you're like, oh, okay.
And then he's gone.
And then he's gone.
As quickly as he comes onto the horizon. 319-366-1600 if you want to talk a little Hawkeye football with us here inside the third and final hour. Let's continue this discussion about the defensive line here, because I've been wanting to get to this for a really long time, and I brought it up a couple days ago, but we didn't really get in depth on it. But when the depth chart came out in the spring prospectus, there were some people that were losing their minds because Parker Hesse was listed ahead of A.J. Epenesa at one of the defensive line spots. And I thought you had a pretty good tweet encapsulating a lot of people's thinking on that, and retweeting Epenesa, his father, former Hawkeye football player and fan favorite, especially now that AJ is back in Iowa City, just discussing that AJ hasn't really earned the right to that starting spot, that he's got to continue to work hard. And it's something that you don't see a whole lot of from parents in this day and age. And it just goes to show, and I know you commented on it on Twitter in forwarding that, that it tells you a lot about the character of that family, that not everybody would take that approach. You do see kids transferring and leaving and always searching for playing time elsewhere. And kids with far less of a high school resume than AJ had. He was one of the most sought after recruits in the country on the defensive line.
It was refreshing to see that come from a parent who obviously was aware of the social media, I don't know, discussions about it, how, you know, that's a travesty that AJ's not listed as the starter, and the father coming out who's been through this, who's been through the program, and it was for Hayden Fry, but it was the same thing. It was a developmental program, and saying, hey, you know, I'm with the coaches on this one. And let's not fool ourselves. AJ Epenesa is an incredible talent, and he's going to find the field plenty this year. But I think it's disrespectful to Parker Hesse, who's himself built himself into a really good football player, who's technically and fundamentally sound. Some of the things that AJ didn't do last year, not setting the edge at times and struggling in the run game, Parker Hesse's really good at. And I think it's great for AJ to be able to learn from somebody who's that good fundamentally to help his game. And I don't know if you guys have ever gotten a chance to talk to AJ. I followed his recruitment and gotten to know him and his family. He is the most unassuming five-star recruit that you'll ever meet. He's just really, he's like his dad. He's down to earth. And despite the natural gifts that he has, he works hard to get better. And that's a dangerous combination for the opposition when you have a kid that's that naturally gifted, who's that dedicated to working to get better.
It absolutely is. And it's one of those things where you look at it and you say that it says a lot about the character of AJ and the family that you respond that way. But I look at it as, how much was he hearing to the point where he felt like he had to respond to this? How many people were up in arms about the first revelation of the depth chart, that he was listed number two, that the coaching staff would have the audacity to list him as the number two defensive end? And I just got to thinking, I called this. Todd and I sat here and called. I asked, how many people are going to be outraged that AJ Epenesa is listed behind Parker Hesse on the depth chart? Sure enough, a day later, you were posting that on Twitter. And I just looked at it as, guys, this is the strength of the football team. The defensive end core is almost assuredly the strongest and deepest part of this football team. And when you see the first depth chart, there are a lot of other things to wonder about. And like we're talking about, the middle of the defense, the linebacking core, the running backs, who's going to play center? The people chose to fixate on AJ Epenesa being the second string defensive end. And like you said, Rob, he's going to play a lot of football. Parker Hesse's going to play a lot of football. Anthony Nelson is going to play a lot of football. And I just think of it as a pitching rotation. Like you said, Rob, these defensive ends all are good at something else. When you have a good pitching rotation, you have a flamethrower, you have a crafty guy, you have guys who are different, do things well differently. So night in and night out, you're changing things up. You're not facing the same guy. You're facing Tom Glavin, then you're facing John Smoltz, then you're facing Greg Maddux. The reason that those guys were so good, yes, they're great pitchers, but they're so different. And that's what you have. You have Anthony Nelson, a big, rangy defensive end who can rush the passer on anybody, who is only going to get better with size. You have a guy like Parker Hesse, who's kind of that run stuffer, who sticks his nose in there and can rush the passer fairly well. And then you have a guy who looks like he's going to be able to do it all once he physically matures in AJ Epenesa. So the people who are freaking out about it, please don't, because that is the strength of this football team.
I think the irony, Todd, and you remember this. You remember, were you at the game in Evanston in 2010 when Adrian Claiborne,
yes,
just couldn't, I mean, he was gasping for air?
I was there as well.
You know,
hands on hips.
Dan Persa just everywhere.
He was on the sideline at the end of the game.
And people were complaining, why don't they rotate defensive linemen? Now they're doing it. four defense. We forgot Sam Brinks, too, who I thought really came on
very
last
solid.
Year. So you've got four solid defensive ends. They've now moved Chauncey Golston, who I think is another kid with a bunch of potential, inside. I think he can do the Christian Ballard inside-out thing. And then the rotation on the inside, I think it's a good thing for everybody. It keeps them fresh. It's what you need now against offenses that are just going nonstop. And I think it's something to be that's foolish to get worked up about at this time of year, especially.
If you want to talk a little Hawkeye football, spring football and the spring game right around the corner, Friday, April 20th, under the lights at Kinnick Stadium, your opportunity to do so is right now, 319-366-1600, 617. We will step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking Hawkeye football. Pro Day was Monday in Iowa City. Rob and I were there. We'll find out a little bit of what Rob took away from his discussion with the hopefully future Hawkeyes in the NFL. Back with more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM after this.
Find huge savings now through Sunday during Menards' Crazy Day Sale. Get five bags of colored wood mulch for just $9. Royal Oak charcoal briquettes are only $4.99 a bag. Crestone beveled retaining wall blocks come in eight colors, only 79 cents each after rebate. And get an attractive Hampton resin mailbox for only $19.99 after rebate. These deals are so crazy, they're available in-store only while supplies last. So hurry in to save big during Menards' Crazy Day Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, basketball fan, plan to stream tournament games on your device? Don't let buffering put a damper on the madness. Say goodbye to timeouts and catch every play with IMON's Best of the Corridor Internet. For a limited time, get 80 megabit internet for just $50 a month. That's over 40% off standard rates. This offer is backed by IMON's responsive local customer service. Plus, sign up before March 31st and lock in your price until 2020. Visit imon.net/radio to get started. New customer offer only. 2-year agreement required. Additional restrictions apply.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back to the Todd Brolkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
6:19 as the big hour rolls along. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us in the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. And we mentioned going into the break that we had two opportunities to talk Hawkeye football earlier this week in Iowa City. Tuesday we heard from Seth Wallace and Reese Morgan, but on Monday things kicked off with a pro day. 31 of the 32 NFL teams were in attendance in Iowa City. We saw James Daniels and the like go through a number of exercises. Well, we didn't actually see them. We were in the lobby. They don't let us witness any of the pro day festivities. Not that what goes on behind closed doors is of all that great deal of an interest to a lot of people, although people lose their mind over the numbers that come out of this thing, and I don't know how much stock you put into the numbers that guys put up at Pro Day, but none of us are NFL scouts. I don't think too many of the fans sitting at home are either, but you had an opportunity to talk to a number of the guys, as did I. Anybody make a big move, in your opinion, as far as looking at the numbers and talking to them and getting feedback?
Yeah, this NFL draft stuff has become like a cottage industry. It really has. I tweeted out I asked James Daniels what teams he was going to visit, and just got barraged with all these different sites that cover certain teams and their NFL draft, and it kind of blows up. It just blows my mind that people focus so much on the NFL draft, but I shouldn't because I watch it myself, and it's interesting. For me, I think Josh Jackson, at least from what we hear, Josh Jackson and Josie Jewell helped themselves running the 40. How much they help themselves, I don't know. I mean, we hear about these, you know, draft analysts and mock drafts and all that, but the people that matter, the people that are making the picks, they're not saying anything. Sean Welsh said to me, he goes, I asked him how he thinks he's done this offseason, and he said to me, he goes, you have to ask the player personnel people, because they're like playing, you know, it's like playing poker against somebody who's really good. They don't say anything to you. They don't give you any hints.
That phrase came up with a couple other players over the weekend. And even watching those guys walk out of the building on Monday, because they all had to walk past us through the lobby to go out the door, the scouts just stone-faced. Although I did catch a couple of them casting a second glance over at James Daniels when he was talking to us about, among a number of things, Ahmad Wagner and whether or not he's going to stay at Iowa and play football.
I don't think he will. That's just from what I've heard and kind of, I think he wants a fresh start. That's kind of, and if you think, he does get 2 years at Iowa, but we've seen it usually takes a little while to develop an Iowa system as a wide receiver. I think he might be better off, guys, going down a level, maybe a Youngstown State, playing an FCS level.
Well, Mark Farley may want to reach out and see if he can keep him at least here in the state of Iowa, but I think you just crushed the hopes and dreams of a number of Hawkeye fans out there. I was optimistic, and I thought the way that James Daniels was talking on Monday, I thought it sounded like he knew he was staying at Iowa, because he was kind of playing coy with everybody and has clearly had some discussions with him about his future. It is one of the more intriguing transfer stories this year out of college basketball. In my opinion, he's not playing basketball, but you look at the tape on him. Nobody uses tape anymore in 2018, but you look at the video of him from high school. He played 1 year, his senior year in high school, and he looks pretty intriguing. And then you got a guy like James Daniels that says, oh yeah, he can play in the NFL. He did this against this school. This school beat us by 35-0, and he runs the opening kickback against him for a touchdown in the state playoffs. Like, talking about him like he's Superman.
Yeah, I just wonder, being away from the game that long and the first time he gets out on that practice field and takes a hit again, if that's something. It's a whole different deal, man, than...
Yeah, that's the biggest thing right there. That's going to decide whether he's going to be successful at this or not. He has the athleticism. If it's going to be the way he responds to it, and quite frankly, is he tough enough to do it? And if he has that mentality to go along with those athletic gifts, he's going to be really good.
Plus, he has to get back in football shape.
He does.
He's been basketball shape for the last 3 years, and he's got to make that transition. And I wonder how quickly he could do it, because he's on the clock.
But he will have more time to do it than some of these other guys that have done it in the past. This isn't all that uncommon. I've said this before, but a guy coming out of Baylor, plays for the Dallas Cowboys, Rico Gathers, went straight to the NFL, didn't play a down of football in college. Mo Alley Cox from VCU played 4 years for the Rams and then went straight to the NFL. So he will at least have some time to season in college instead of going and playing this game at the highest level, really for the first time at any type of high level of football, which has to be difficult.
Hurtin and Stocker text line available for you, 319-366-1600. Hurtin and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, giving you the opportunity to connect with us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 30 more minutes of the program on the way tonight before we step aside. Baseball action going on today. The Cubs and the Marlins kicking off game two of their series at Marlins Park. Chris Bryant with a double in the first inning for the Cubs, so looks like they're trying to pick up where they left off yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton with a tremendous debut for the Yankees. Perhaps we will talk a little bit of baseball on the back end of the program tonight, as well as a preview of the Final Four, because there's a Big Ten team still alive. They have to play Dream Crusher to all of the Loyola fans that have hopped on board the bandwagon the last couple weeks with Sister Jean, Porter Mosier, and the rest of the Loyola Ramblers. I was talking earlier today with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, about Porter Moser, who he knows from growing up with him in the Chicago suburbs, and knew him during his time in the Missouri Valley Conference as well. And yeah, very interesting Final Four. That's our poll question subject today at KGYMradio.com, by the way, if you have not been to the website today to cast your vote, which two teams will wind up winning the Final Four games in San Antonio this weekend. We give you all four options. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot.
I was saying this earlier, Todd, and I wanted to get your guys' take on this a little bit because it's Big Ten related. We don't have to dive too deep into it, but are you guys surprised that the Michigan State stuff is so under the table as far as the news cycle?
A little bit. I know, as you said, you touched on it on Love It or Leave It, but I know I share Rob's view on this. It's surprising to me that 5 years removed from Penn State, that there's another massive sex abuse scandal that is not only rocking the NCAA, but it's also once again hitting a Big Ten school. And the latest story to emerge this week is the fact that that Michigan State, shame on me for getting those two fine institutions mixed up. Michigan State paid $500,000 to a public relations firm to monitor the social media accounts of the victims and their families to see what was being said about Michigan State on social media. That, to me, gives me the creepy crawlies, among other things, knowing what's going on in this case and seeing that, just like at Penn State, there were people who could have acted as a check valve for further abuse, who not only allowed it to continue, but they themselves are now getting into trouble over their own lascivious behavior.
It's all about protecting the brand.
It really, and that's where we're at with college sports.
Yeah,
and it is. It's not just college sports, but it's the college itself. But you're talking about multi-million-dollar businesses in athletic departments. And this is, I think, probably for the most part under the radar at this point because it was women's gymnastics, whereas at Penn State, not only was it football, but it was one of the most venerated football coaches of all time in the college game. That being said, you still have issues with the Michigan State football program and Mark D'Antonio. Tom Izzo was plagued by this. Rob, you were there as I was for the Michigan State-Iowa game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena this year, where Izzo looked like he had walked through the eye of a hurricane, and there was still 2.5 weeks left in the regular season at that point. You could tell that Michigan State has had a lot of things thrown at it over the last several months because of the Larry Nassar story, and yet it's not really resonating with a lot of people. And I think that's upsetting to people like Allie Raceman and some of the U.S. women's gymnastics participants, members that were victims of Larry Nassar. The fact that we just seem to have dropped this and moved on, which is, I think, extremely unfortunate.
It is. And those people have a right to be upset because it's, you're talking about institution of higher learning. People go here to try to better themselves. And you had a guy just like at Penn State that was a predator. And people in education helped cover up for the perpetrators of this. And it's troubling.
Kyle is with us in the studio. He's going to bring you a penultimate, in more ways than one, Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa baseball is in Champaign this weekend for a weekend series with number 25 Illinois. The Illini are 16-5 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, while the Hawkeyes are 14-8 and 1-1 in the conference. Lefty Nick Allgaier is on the mound for Game 1 tonight. They got started a little bit late because of some rain, but Iowa leads 1-0 in the first. Former Cyclone guard Donovan Jackson participated in the NCAA three-point contest last night, but was eliminated in the first round, scoring just 12 points. Next up for him is the inaugural three-on-three tournament that will take place at the Final Four this weekend. Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from class of 2019 cornerback Joseph Thompson. He's a 5'10", three-star cornerback out of Chicago, the 23rd-ranked recruit in Illinois, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Illinois, Ball State, and Toledo, among others. The Rough Riders sit at 21-23 with just 7 games left to get above 500, and tonight they're heading to Dubuque for a matchup with the Fighting Saints. Puck drop will be at 7:05 at Mystique Ice Arena. And then tomorrow night, the Riders are back home with the Chicago Steel. You can see that one right here in town, also at 7 o'clock. Tonight after the show, we're going to pick up the women's Final Four games. We'll join Louisville and Mississippi State in progress, and they'll be followed by Notre Dame trying to keep it close with UConn on all three KGYM frequencies. And then tomorrow, we'll pick up coverage of the men's Final Four at 2:30 before Loyola and Michigan tip off around 5, followed by Kansas and Villanova, also on all three KGYM frequencies.
Cubs and Marlins underway game 2 of their series at Marlins Park in Miami, scoreless so far in that contest as Major League Baseball is underway for the 2018 season. A good opportunity to remind everybody that they can join us at Wrigley Field on Saturday, May 12th, for the first ever KGYM bus trip. We're looking forward to this. The first bus sold out in about a month, so we have added a second bus. It's $150 a person. It includes round-trip transportation to and from Chicago, as well as your ticket to the game, a swag bag, the whole nine yards, and we will pick you up and drop you off from set locations and hopefully enjoy a great game in great seats. They are going for more than $150 on the secondary market right now, so not only do you get a seat for under what you could get it from a scalper, but you're also getting transportation to and from the game and a stop at the DeKalb Oasis. Details available for the trip on our website, KGYMradio.com. It is kid-friendly, although you have to pay $150 a person for their ticket. Coolers, food allowed on the bus. Trying to think of some of the other questions that we've had about this that have occurred over the last month or so. You don't even have to be a Cubs or White Sox fan to join us. I want to be very clear about that. You don't even have to like baseball. Maybe you just want something to do on a Saturday in May. You are more than welcome to join us. Very much looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, you can get more details about it, not only on our website, but our Facebook page. I don't mention the Facebook page often enough here on the program, but you can, if you're a Facebook user in this day and age of fake news, all you need to look for is KGYM Radio. Give that page a like, and you can keep up to date with what's going on behind the scenes and on the air here at KGYM. Speaking of on the air, local programming will resume on Monday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, 3 o'clock, the gym class brought to you by Third Base Brewery. Scott and Mark will chat with Cedar Rapids Gazette columnist Mike Halas about Monday night's national championship game. 6:34, quick timeout. When we come back, more Hawkeye Talk with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com after this.
Imagine you're given a new car of your choice. There's only one catch. This is the last car you're ever going to get in your life. You would baby that car. Well, you don't just get one car in your life. You get one mind and one body. And it's what you do today that determines how your mind and body operates years from now.
You have one body. Take care of it. Know more about you and your DNA. Order your 23andMe kit today at 23andme.com.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch to Pennzoil at a Jiffy Lube near you.
Celery stalks! Get your celery stalks and iceberg lettuce here!
Nobody wants that!
I've got lukewarm tap water!
Why?
Baseball's no-brainer. Hot dogs and beer. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Introducing Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus Razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Enter for a chance to win an MLB All-Star Game experience. Visit Barbasol.com.
There are two ways to pour motor oil. The hard way, which can get messy. Or the easy way, introducing Valvoline in the new Easy Pour bottle, featuring a redesigned easy pull tap and spout and anti-glug tube. Now, the proven protection you expect from Valvoline is even easier to pour. Faster, cleaner, proven. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Valvoline, since 1866. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life in a filter for $25.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
See what happens when you skip rehearsal.
Welcome back in. That is the theme song from Simon and Simon, one of my favorite TV shows. I'm sad to announce that I have several seasons of that on DVD at home. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us. Gerald McCraney, underrated actor, reappearing on TV in his role as the doctor who delivered the big three on This Is Us. That's your TV nugget for the day. Plenty to get to on the final 20-plus minutes of the program tonight. You can reach out to us on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. We were talking about this during the break, but our pal Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times, as the Quad Cities River Bandits opening day roster out. The River Bandits are going to be in Cedar Rapids next Saturday night for the Colonels home opener. Season actually begins next Thursday in Davenport with the Colonels and River Bandits playing at Modern Woodman Park, what used to be John O'Donnell Stadium. Jake Adams going to be a member of the Quad Cities River Bandits. So Hawkeye baseball fans perhaps have an opportunity or a reason to go check out the Colonels and the Bandits early on. We'll see whether or not he can recover. He didn't have the easiest of transitions to professional baseball last year in the New York Penn League.
No, struggled. It'll be interesting to see how he, you know, what adjustments he made after that, you know, cup of coffee, so to speak, and see if he can kind of get his feet under him a little bit more in full season ball. And be, like you said, it'd be cool. It's cool that he gets to come back to the area and play early in the season.
Pretty interesting roster there that they've got, according to Steve's reporting. And you can see him opening day right around the corner, as we mentioned, for the Colonels. They are also hosting Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium this season, Saturday, June 9th. Those tickets have been on sale since 10 a.m. Monday. You can buy them by going to the Colonels website, which is colonels.com. I know you make your way up here every once in a while to Cedar Rapids for some Colonels baseball games. You probably, your free time is limited with three kids, though. And Alex, your oldest, is getting to that age where he's probably doing a lot of things in the summer, not hanging out with dad, being chief among them. I'm looking forward to those days.
He still likes to take in a ball game,
okay,
though.
Good.
We haven't been to a major league game yet, but he enjoys the Colonels. And definitely this year, it looks like, at least projecting, it looks like there could be some high-level talent coming to town early in the season this year, so that definitely will draw me up 380.
We will find out Sunday afternoon. Okay. I think the team is scheduled to get to the Eastern Iowa Airport around 4 o'clock.
I saw Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com speculating that something like 7 of the Twins' top 20 prospects could be in Cedar Rapids at some point in the season.
That's the key, at some point. You never know who's there on the first 25-man roster and who gets promoted. And the Twins are really deep at shortstop. And I know Royce Lewis and Wander Javier are two guys who play the same position. And chances are one, if not both of them, will be here perhaps at the same time once the opening day roster is released. And it sounds like the Burlington team, the Angels affiliate, should have a lot of talent on it this year. A friend of mine is at spring training watching them play tonight and sending me a list of all of the Angels prospects that are there. So baseball season is right around the corner, and very excited about seeing the Colonels return to Veterans Memorial Stadium next Saturday night for the home opener of the 2018 Midwest League season. They begin the season on Thursday in Davenport against Jake Adams and the River Bandits. We will have Colonel skipper Toby Gardenhire on the air with us Thursday. His dad, Ron Gardenhire, back in a big league dugout for the first time since managing the Minnesota Twins. I should say back as a manager for the first time since leading the Twins. Ejected on opening day today in Detroit after a replay review took away what would have been the game-winning run for the Tigers. So it looks like Gardy is in midseason form.
He's always been a spirited guy.
And a good interview. We had him on the program several years ago when he was coming through Cedar Rapids on the winter caravan for the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet. And an engaging guy, easy to root for, and coming out of retirement. I know he was with Arizona for a little bit, but coming out of retirement, managerial retirement, to take over that team, which is definitely rebuilding, that's a tall task in front of him. Let's continue on in the Hawkeye vein, though, while we've got you here. I'm sure many of our listeners caught our interview with C.J. Frederick earlier tonight, the reigning Gatorade Player of the Year in basketball in the state of Kentucky. What type of player do you think the Hawkeyes are getting in him, and how will Frederick and Joe Wieskamp fit into the mix right now? There's a lot of projecting going on here, obviously.
Yeah, I would. I listened to your interview on my drive up here, and I've seen the comparisons to Kirk Heinrich, who I watched play high school basketball in person back in the late 90s. I can kind of see that. Kirk was a really explosive player, quick laterally. I think those are things that CJ still needs to continue to work on. But I do see some comparisons there. He reminds me a little bit of Alex O'Connell, too, from Duke, who Iowa offered early. Just kind of a guy that you can't leave open, but also can do some other things, pass the ball, facilitate offense, things like that. Obviously, the challenge for him is going to be, can he guard? And I know Iowa fans don't want to hear this, but can he guard athletic guys on the wing? He's probably a combo guard. In the vein of a Jordan Bohannon, not the same type player, but a guy that can play both positions.
They just desperately need some depth and playmaking ability in the backcourt. And whether they get that next year or not depends on if they bring in a graduate transfer, what they do with those scholarships left by Brady Ellingson and Ahmad Wagner. But it looks like these two guys that they are bringing in fit into what they need, but like we've brought up before, it's hard to expect a ton from a freshman. CJ did say that that Fran had talked to him a little bit about playing point guard at times. So like you brought up there, the kind of that combo guard type player that they're bringing into the program.
And not to be the bearer of more potentially bad news, as I was for the Ahmad Wagner. And I want to be clear that he has not made a decision. He is out somewhere visiting this weekend. He would not tell me where, but it's not here. And some other things I've heard kind of led me to that. I'm starting to hear some decent from some people that are in the know that there's momentum that Tyler Cook may not be here regardless of what happens with the NBA draft, that he is leaning towards just not coming back to Iowa, which would open up another scholarship. And I don't know if you guys saw the story on Darius Brazley, or Basley, excuse me, kid from Cincinnati who was committed to go to Syracuse, five-star kid, McDonald's All-American. He decommitted from Syracuse to go play in the G League. He's passing on college, and he'll probably be a top 10 pick in 2019. And this, I could see this start. I don't know if it's going to become a trend where a lot of guys do this, but I think guys are just ready to go and start playing professional basketball. And Tyler Cook, from what I'm hearing, may be ready to do that.
Let's talk about something Alex and I have discussed here on the program before, and Alex feels pretty strongly about, because if that is the case, they really have to go back to being the D League. I know the G League is because of the Gatorade sponsorship, but the D stands for developmental.
Right.
And there are a lot of people that look at the basketball that's played in that league, and it's not really a developmental league more than it is just a taxi squad for the NBA team. So if you're going to start flooding that league with young players who are using it as an avenue to get around the one year of college rule, it's not going to probably help them as much as hinder them to be playing on a team where the focus isn't really on development.
But I think if you're a top 10 type talent like this kid is, at least projected to be, you go to the G League, you can get sponsorships. Nike may say, okay, let's get on the bandwagon with this kid. He's going to be a lottery pick the next year, so he can make money that way. There's some potential there for guys that just don't want to go to college and are ready to become professionals and not deal with going to class anymore. That this could happen. I'm not sure that it's going to be something that happens consistently, but for certain guys, it's an option.
And I think for the good of the NBA and for the good of college basketball, it needs to happen. And more I think about the current system as far as the one and dones, the more and more I think it's asinine. First of all, could you imagine in Major League in baseball, if the current system in basketball, maybe it's a little bit apples to oranges, but that system was in baseball, you have to go to college for a year. After your freshman year, you're going straight to the major leagues. You're going to learn by either sitting on the bench or facing Max Scherzer in your first major league at bat. Makes no sense. So basketball, for some, and Rob, we're seeing this with Kentucky. And Duke and some of these other really talented young teams, they have the best athletes. They don't have the most refined basketball players yet. Guys who are nowhere near ready to play in the NBA are kind of shooting their way into the NBA, and some of them don't ever develop because they don't get the reps. They're sitting on the end of the bench, or they're not ready to play at that level. If there was some kind of minor league system in the NBA, I think it would be good for not only the NBA product, because you have guys who are ready after a couple years, send them there when they're 18, bring them up when they're 22, but for college basketball, you have guys there that want to be there, and I think that would be a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of forcing these young men to go to college when they don't really want to be there, and that's their only way of getting exposure and preparing themselves for the NBA, and if there's another outlet, it'll be interesting to see how that affects college basketball, because I think you'll maybe see even more stories like Loyola, where you have guys that develop and end up becoming, you know, 3 and 4 year starters and gelling together as a team. Whereas, you know, we saw with Duke and Kentucky this year, very talented, super talented teams, but they weren't together team wise.
And I think it would benefit those teams too, because John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski would not have to create these watered down systems that they're having to, because they know they're only going to have a guy for a year. They could develop players. They could teach players and not completely dumb down what they do, because in 6 months that player's going to be gone and you're going to be teaching another 18-year-old how to play basketball.
Yep, going to zone defense like Duke did.
Exactly.
And that cost them. Kansas had time to prepare for that, and they just picked them apart, and they didn't have a reaction. Young players.
While we're talking college basketball, the Final Four is upon us in San Antonio. Tomorrow we'll be with 4 teams and then down to 2 on Monday night in the national championship game. There's a Big Ten team still alive, Rob. Michigan, a team that we saw up close and personal this year, and a team the Hawkeyes took down to the wire, gave them one of their better efforts this season. Do you get the sense that Michigan will be playing Monday night in the national championship game, or does Cinderella live to dance one more dance at the ball before the clock strikes midnight?
I really think it's a toss-up game, and it's going to be a matter of which team, and maybe this is oversimplifying it in a no-duh comment, but whoever can shoot the ball well. We've seen Michigan have off-night shooting the ball. If that happens, you know, tomorrow, they're going to be in trouble, but I just really think Michigan is so much better defensively this year, especially on the perimeter. I think that could give Loyola trouble. And you combine that with their size and the versatility of Mo Wagner. I favor Michigan in this one, but Loyola surprised me this whole tournament. So I would not be surprised if they won.
On the other side of the bracket, 2 number one seeds, Bill Self and Kansas, played a pretty rigid schedule this year. Lots of top 50 RPI wins, I think the most of any team coming into the tournament. And then Villanova, coached by Jay Wright, not the same Villanova team that knocked Iowa out of the NCAA tournament a couple years ago, but a team that, that looks as if it does just about everything right and is capable of certainly being there not only on Monday night, but probably cutting down the nets at the end as well.
My bracket stunk, like probably a lot of people's brackets stunk, but I had Villanova winning it and was pretty confident in that pick. Having seen them up close and personal a couple years ago in Brooklyn, Jay Wright's system is just, he is kind of the prototype for what teams are doing now, using, you know, spreading the floor, being able to shoot, defending, getting in people's face, getting in their space on that end of the floor. I would be kind of surprised if they don't win at all, but it's been a kind of a wacky tournament, and Kansas certainly is capable, and they're playing really good basketball at this time too. But I think it's going to be Villanova and Michigan, and then Villanova for the second time in 3 years, cutting down the nets.
Penn State won the NIT last night. We were talking with Thomas Bendit of SB Nation earlier in the program today. He doesn't necessarily think that that's a harbinger of good things to come for the Penn State program. Do you see them as a team that could possibly be in the mix next year for an upper division finish in the Big Ten?
Tony Carr comes back. Yes, he leaves. So does a lot of their prospects next year. He is the key to that team, and he's a really incredibly difficult matchup. But if he decides to come back next year, oh yeah, I think Penn State's a top four Big Ten team.
It's going to be interesting to see what this entire conference looks like next year. Michigan State completely retooling. How will the things going on there affect how they look next year? And what happens with Mo Wagner? Does he come back? I think at this point, probably not. His stock is going to be pretty high coming out. And Kata Bates-Diop gone from Ohio State. And we'll see what happens with Tyler Cook moving forward. But like you're saying, that's definitely not a sure thing. So this entire – and Purdue, going to be a completely different team.
Carson Edwards has thrown his name. I think he comes back, but you never know.
Yeah, and it's just going to be a completely different conference.
Miles Bridges at Michigan State is gone. It was a surprise that he came back this year in the first place. But a lot of talent leaving. We'll see how much talent is coming in next year in the Big Ten, and maybe an opportunity – for a little movement for a team like Iowa, Fran McCaffrey can get things figured out on the defensive side of things. Before we move on to our last break, Darren DeVries getting the head coaching gig at Drake, 17 years as an assistant at Creighton. Think that looks like a good hire?
It does. It does on the surface. He knows the state. He was recruited the state for Creighton, worked under Dana Altman and Greg McDermott, and you know, so he's got a lot of experience learning from really good coaches. So I think it's a good hire. I think he wants to be there, whereas Nico Medved was looking at it as a stepping stone job. I think DeVries kind of digs his heels in there and tries to get a program developed again, and I think it's a good hire. But as we've said, it comes down to it's not the X's and the O's all the time. It's the Jimmys and the Joes and how well he can recruit them.
And not everybody can attend Pat Hardy's alma mater.
No.
They're very, very exclusive as to who they let come in the door there. Although if you've got some basketball talent, they will let you play. Which two assistants are on tap next week in Iowa City for the Hawkeyes?
We may have a double dose next week. I think we may have Tuesday and Friday next week.
Oh, yippee.
There's 1 week where it's a double dose of Tuesday and Friday. And it's not that far off. That April 20th will come quick. That 7 o'clock on April 20th for the spring game, we're probably looking at snow flurries on that day. We'll be out there with stocking caps and gloves.
You like Friday? They're doing the Friday thing again this year.
You don't.
I don't necessarily enjoy it either, as we will keep it here for the final couple minutes of the program and get you a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The Cubs, by the way, have taken a 1-0 lead on the Marlins in Miami. A solo home run by Chris Bryant has pushed them to an early lead. So I know you folks out there who aren't Cubs fans love the Cubs updates, but the Cardinals aren't playing today. They and the Mets have the built-in off day that Major League Baseball puts in there for instances like Cincinnati and Detroit, where opening day the weather does not cooperate. And I know Kansas City and Chicago taking the day off as well. Probably a good thing for our buddy Cal Eldred, whose debut as the Royals pitching coach yesterday did not go very well. Hopefully he wasn't the one who came up with the game plan on how to pitch to Matt Davidson. Let's keep it here. Kyle's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa baseball's in Champaign this weekend for a weekend series with number 25 Illinois. The Illini are 16-5 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, while the Hawkeyes are 14-8 and 1-1 in the conference. Lefty Nick Allgaier got the start for Game One tonight, and Iowa jumped out quickly to a 1-0 lead, but now trails 2-1 in the third. Former Cyclone guard Donovan Jackson participated in the NCAA three-point contest last night, but was eliminated in the first round, scoring just 12 points. Next up for him is the inaugural three-on-three tournament that will take place at the Final Four this weekend. Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from class of 2019 cornerback Joseph Thompson. He's a 5'10", three-star cornerback out of Chicago, the 23rd-ranked recruit in Illinois, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Illinois, Ball State, and Toledo, among others. The Rough Riders sit at 21-23 with just 7 games left to get above 500. Tonight they're heading to Dubuque for a matchup with the Fighting Saints. Puck drop will be at 7:05 at Mystique Ice Arena. And then tomorrow night the Riders are back home with the Chicago Steel. And you can see that one right here in Cedar Rapids, also at 7 o'clock. Tonight after the show, we're going to pick up the women's Final Four games. We'll join Louisville and Mississippi State in progress. They'll be followed by Notre Dame trying to keep it close with UConn on all three KGYM frequencies. And then tomorrow, we'll pick up the coverage of the men's Final Four at 2:30 before Loyola and Michigan tip around 5, followed by Kansas and Villanova, also on all three KGYM frequencies.
And Amber Pfizer out of Benton Community, who's pitching for the Golden Gophers of Minnesota, has thrown a no-hitter today against Illinois. So I saw Mike Halas just tweet that. Rob, a big thank you for you coming up to Cedar Rapids and joining us tonight. The Big Hour once again brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thank you as well to Steve Anderson and his crew there for their sponsorship of the 6 o'clock hour on Fridays throughout football and basketball season. Coming up on the program Monday, a 2.5-hour version of the show as we will step aside early for the national championship game in San Antonio. Our final chat of the year with our KGYM college basketball analyst. I don't know whether that's his official title, but it's what I like to call him, Mac McCausland, at 5 o'clock. We'll know the Colonels opening day roster, and should be a great week, so join us. We appreciate you listening, and happy Easter and Passover.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today!
All right, back upstairs then.